From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Hallelujah. It's a blessing to be, coming to your homes, your living rooms, your bedrooms. I'm sure some of you are cooking. When my wife called me, she was going upstairs and downstairs. I'm sure she's in the kitchen somewhere trying to listen. So I hope you're not, caught up in anything. For just a few minutes on Resurrection Sunday, I want you to just give me your rapt attention as I preach to you from the Word of God. I don't know how you're feeling in Babies, in Batica, in Essequibo, but I'm sure if you see my face like this, you get a little excited, isn't it? I mean, God is so wonderful. We've been given technology, and therefore we are trying to use it. We are still at the teething stages of our online services. We believe in God that, as we go along, we'll be able to open it live to everybody everywhere, so that, friends, family, and everybody else can have the opportunity to watch it. But for now, we're trying to hide our blurriness, the slowness, and all of that. We're trying to hide it. We don't want to be out there with all our other side. The Bible it's not a Bible. They say you don't wash your dirty linen and do what? Gee, what is it? You don't hang your dirty linen outside. Is that not what they say? So we don't want to as yet reveal all the things that we don't want to reveal. So as we go along, things are going to be better. Turn to your neighbor 6 feet from you. I hope your neighbor is 6 feet away from you. Tell that 6 feet neighbor, things are going to be better. Wonderful. Let's pray. And freely you gave it all for us. Surrendered your life upon the cross. Great is your love you poured out for all. This is our God. And lifted on high from death to life, forever our God is glorified. Servant and King, rescue the world. This is our God. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough, more than I need. At your word I will believe. I wait for you, draw near again. Let your spirit make me new, and I will fall at your feet. I will fall at your feet, and I will worship you. With your hands lifted up, and freely you gave it all for us. Surrendered your life upon the cross. Great is your love you poured out for all. This is our God. lifted on high 2,000 years ago, was lifted up from the hand. For our God is glorified. Forever our God is glorified. Seven, thank Him. Rescue the world. This is our God. Father, I want to thank you so much for this Easter Sunday. Thank you for the risen Lord. The scripture says that if there was no resurrection of the dead, then we are hopeless. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then is our faith in vain and we are still in our sins. But thanks be to God that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day, of which we celebrate and we stand here today and rejoice in the fact that death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Thank you, Father, that because of the death of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection, we will not die anymore. We have everlasting life. Thank you, Father, for such a great gift. For Bible says that you love the world so much that you gave your only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you for the life we share today. In Jesus' name, somebody said, amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated, please. In the presence of the Lord, you're welcome to our Resurrection Sunday service indeed. Just want to preach for a few minutes, and that we have, you know, I'm sure you have some cross buns somewhere. Or today you don't eat cross buns. Cross buns and cheese. Bacon salt fish is also okay. Don't worry with nobody. If you don't have cross buns, at least bacon and salt fish. Bishop said bacon and salt fish also works. Don't worry with nobody. All right? And then people say, don't eat meat. Yeah, you should eat meat too. Coronavirus has come. You need meat. You need meat to build your system. All right? Don't worry, all them grandchildren. Me grandmother said, me grandfather said, nah, we in deep on that. You get it? Wonderful. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, if you will. We were doing some prayer work this morning. I want to just dwell on that same kind of topic, because I believe that God has something in store for us in those scriptures. So Philippians chapter 3, if you care to turn your Bibles to it, and some verse. All right. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. Let me read from verse 7. The Bible says that, but what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Isn't it? Because of what Jesus did for you and I on the cross, anything that we thought was gain to us, now that he died for you and rose, I don't know anybody who has ever died for you, was buried 3 days later and rose from the dead. Is there anybody in your life like that? Is there, you have a mother, you have an uncle, those with curriculum vitae of fellas. You have fellas after fella after fella after the fellest. I don't know if that's how you want to call it. I don't know which fella died. He was crucified. The fella was crucified for you. Or the girl was crucified for you on the cross. And then the girl died on the cross. Her wig and everything came off on the cross. Died. And then was taken off the cross and was buried in a tomb. And 3 days later, your girlfriend wake up from the dead. Lord God Almighty, I've never heard any story like that. And so the Bible says that if what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, because I now know what Christ did for me. It is so important that anything else does not matter. I counted all things that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The verse then says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The title of my message is The Power of His Resurrection. The Power of His Resurrection. The Power of His Resurrection. Let me tell you, power is power. Power is nice. In our country currently, people are fighting for power since March the 2nd. It is power. So when I hear people talk about the church must get involved, I don't have time to waste on some unbelieving, power-drunk people in this world. Me ain't got time for waste. I got time for preach, not time to waste up for on people who are power-drunk. But you see, power is so nice that the Bible says that it is power that rose Jesus from the dead. And the Apostle Paul, you see, at this stage, Paul had seen a lot of things. Paul had planted churches. He had raised leaders. He had gone through all so many things for God. But in this part, you know, if you come from Romans, Acts, go to Romans, you have Corinthians, and then you come. This is Philippians. Then this is like in the middle part or getting to the latter part of his ministry. He's talking about that I may know him. And so, I don't know, you are sitting in Georgetown, maybe you are sitting on the East Coast listening to me, and you think you know God. From today, you should repent that you don't know God. Amen. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. Now, it takes power. It takes power. Like I was explaining earlier, for even Jesus, you see, for Jesus to know that there's a guy among the 12 guys I'm working with who is going to sell me for 30 pieces of silver. For that, you know, and you and I, we are all human beings. If you ever know that somebody living with you or your neighbor has planned something against you, I don't think you wake up in the morning and walk around and say, neighbor, good morning. Morning, neighbor. Everything okay with you, neighbor? When you know, I don't know anybody who would do that. And then you go to work, you come back. When you come back, you say, neighbor, good afternoon. Neighbor comes to ask you for salt. You say, okay, neighbor, take the whole salt. I mean, once you know that this neighbor, and I know, I have church members from the Red Range. You know the Red Range? I have church members from there. Sure. I mean, neighbor, what's neighbor? We don't talk to our neighbors, though. We don't talk to our neighbors. This Bible that says love your neighbor as yourself. Please don't bring it in Guyana, Georgetown. We don't love our neighbors ourselves. So for your neighbor, you see your neighbor, to know your neighbor, that your neighbor has planned something against you, and to just walk to your neighbor and say good morning and pass the person nice night, give the person food and all of that. No. You have a party, you invite the neighbor, you say you are having Holy Communion. Neighbor, come for Holy Communion. And neighbor comes, and you and your family, neighbor, break bread, give to neighbor. Neighbor drinking wine and drinking bread. You're praying, you're singing, hallelujah. And neighbor is, and you know that neighbor is going to, no. It takes power. It takes a certain supernatural ability to go through this for 3 years, knowing that the guy that you have given the money to, the offering, that guy is a traitor. And then that same guy indeed betrays you, and they come and arrest you in the garden. And when they carry you to Pilate's palace, your right-hand man, Peter, who said that he would die with you, some small girl came and said, do you know this man? He said, no, I don't know him. And then from Friday, from Thursday night all the way through to Friday, as he was taken, he was whipped, beaten. Pilate said, I don't see anything wrong with this guy. It's just some discussions that, it doesn't concern me. I'm here from Rome. I came to collect taxes and to guard this place. I don't have anything to do with this. He washed his hands. The people said, no, crucify him. They took him. They took him from Pilate's place all the way to Golgotha, Mount Calvary. It was a hill. And as he was going there, beating him, the whole town was turned upside down. He was still, he didn't say anything to anybody. He didn't curse nobody. He didn't say, you mother sponge. Pilate, you mother sponge. He didn't say anything like that. The soldiers were beating him. He didn't say, you, when I die and I come back, you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about power. I don't know anybody in my life, including me, who will go through this and not say a word. That is why the apostle says that for all the things that I thought were useful to me, when I met Christ, those things now became useless. Because when I analyzed the one who died for me and what he went through, nothing else is important. They carried him. The women were crying as they carried him. Only John was with all the other 11 guys. They had scattered. Peter had run to go and be with his wife. All kinds of things. Then they nail him to the cross. Please, can I put a nail between your palm? Just a drywall screw. Just a drywall, not a half inch. Just through your hands. I won't use a hammer. I'll just try and screw it. Just try and screw it. Then they crucify him. From the pictures we see from movies and all of that, the cross was on the ground. And so they put him on, and they nailed his two hands, and they nailed his two feet together, and they lifted up the cross with a crown of thorns. They took off his linen cloth, and they gambled over. So Jesus was virtually naked. He was wearing a buktok. Yeah, even if he had a buktok, I don't know. Because the long dress, you can easily not wear a buktok for ventilation purposes. Lord have mercy. You know, and then they pulled the cross up, and he was on this cross in the hot sun, dying. Flies around. You know, flies, they like blood, though. Flying around his head, going to his eyes, his nose. There was no hand or anything to drive the flies away. And then he was on the cross. Some people were crying. Some people were insulting him. He was on the cross. Now there was a thief, a guy who is a thief. He's a thief man. Two thief men who were expert at thieving. One on the right, one on the left. As Jesus was on the cross, suffering, going through all the emotions, and it's very interesting. A pastor friend of mine messaged me yesterday. He told me that he just recovered from coronavirus. He said 2 weeks he has been through hell. I'm trying to call him to understand what he means by the hell, because anybody who goes through hell is a very great person. I want to hear him when he said he's been through hell. Coronavirus, 2 weeks. He's recovered fully by the grace of God. You know. But Jesus, hell, if there's, you know, Bishop was teaching us about the types of hell. I think Jesus went to all the types of hell. And this guy said, well, you call yourself Jesus. I remember I saw you were driving, the people were raising palm branches. They would say, Jesus. And now you're on the cross. Get down, Jesus, get down and help us. If you are that people were trying to praise you and all of that. Then the other one said, hey, shut your mouth. I think it was Guyanese. He said, shut your mouth. Shut up. He said, you and I, it's clear. The evidence is clear. We're taken to court. We're judged guilty. Death on the cross. This man didn't do anything. Then he told Jesus, remember me when you come into your glory. Then Jesus, you will be with me in paradise. Now, Jesus was there. Someone whose two hands were nailed, his feet were also nailed together on the cross. He suffered. I mean, he suffered. It was difficult. I mean, analysts, they say that blood couldn't go to his brain or something. Jesus died of shock. It was too much. He bled. Blood came out of his hands, his feet. He bled. Blood was shot going to, you see, for us he was there. The blood going to his brain was shot because it was flowing through his legs and flowing through his hands. So the blood wouldn't go into his head for his brains to work well. So he went into shock. That's why he died before they came to check on him. Then Joseph of Arimathea, nice guy, had a nice tomb, you know. Went to Pilate and begged for Jesus' body, because the next day was Holy Saturday, you know, nothing holy, everybody locked down, curfew, nobody goes out, Holy Saturday. So he took his body and then he went to put it in his tomb. The ladies went to check and everything. He was dead. When the Roman soldiers came to check whether he was dead, they pierced his side. And Bible said water and blood came out because they were trying to break his legs. They were breaking the legs of the thieves who were hanging on the cross because they were not dying. But Jesus had died, so they had to push a spear, pierce his side, and that was a proof that he was dead. And so they took him down. They went to bury him. Are you following? I'm talking about the power of his resurrection that Apostle Paul said he wants to know him and know that power. And I'm trying to explain you, take you on this journey of what he went through, how he was quiet, how he suffered, was crucified, he died on a cross, his side was pierced, his hands and all of that, and then he was buried. It was clear, it was evident. But then people said that he said he'll rise from the dead, so they should guard the tomb so that the disciples wouldn't come and take the body and say that the man rose from the dead, because these disciples, they are some way. So they guarded the tomb. And Pilate's seal was on the stone that was rolled to the entrance of the tomb. And when you see Pilate's seal, you don't go close to it. And they put a soldiers right there to guard the tomb. Saturday, Sunday morning, the ladies said they were gonna, you know, try and clean the church and make sure that their body was okay and all of that. When they got to the tomb, the stone was rolled away. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 27. Let's read that account there very quickly. Matthew chapter 28, I think. Right there. At the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. A great earthquake. This is not, you see, earthquakes are measured. There's something we call the Richter scale. Earthquakes are strong or not strong depending on the measure on the Richter scale. So if the earthquake is 1 is low, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 magnitude of an earthquake is very, very dangerous. So earthquakes that breaks houses and destroys and kills people, most of them are around 7, 6, 7. So when the Bible says there was a great earthquake, I mean, I have to research it, but if the Richter scale was there, then I'm sure it was about 20. There was an earthquake. Remember when he died, the darkness, and there was an earthquake also. Because, you see, God is not going to enter into the grave and raise his son from the dead with a minor shake. You see, depending on the might and the power of the person, when he comes, you can feel it. You know, there are some people that are like that. When they are coming to your house, you can feel that they are coming. They walk like bum, 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 bum. They open the door and bam. Say, hey, you should. People who do that are people who feel very powerful. So for God to come into the grave and take Jesus out of from the dead and all of that, it had to, God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, he descended that day to raise his son from the dead. You must expect something big. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. The angel came from heaven. You know how far heaven is. Even if you are using a 192 that Calvin uses, you will not get here fast. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. Jeremiah can't reach fast. And came, and the angel rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. This is my favorite. The angel sat on the stone and he crossed his legs like that. I'm sure he was drinking coconut water too. Man, because he was excited that something powerful is happening here in this tomb. And the Bible says he sat on it and his countenance was like lightning. And his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake. Those who said they were guarding Jesus, those who said they were watching the tomb, that nobody would come and take the body. The Bible says that for the fear of this angel, the keepers, they were shaking, and they became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. So all this were like physical signs of what was happening inside the tomb. Jesus had risen from the dead. And Jesus didn't need the stone to be rolled for him to come out. There's a certain power, let me tell you, there's a certain power beyond human comprehension that brings somebody who is dead for 3 days, according to the Jewish timings, 3 days brings the person back from the dead. I mean, we just buried Mr. Anthony Fitzsimmons. I'm sure if after 3 days, this man jumps out of the grave and goes to Eden Street in Tocqueville, Lord God Almighty, Judy, are you hearing me? I'm sure you say, what? I mean, the Sunday when you come to church, you say, Lord, you'll be jumping, say, Lord, this is a miracle. Let me tell you, Jesus died. Like we went to bury the man. We went and we saw the coffin pushed into the tomb. 3 days later, he broke the coffin. He came out of the tomb. Now he was standing by the tomb side. When Mary couldn't leave. And so Mary asked him, Mr. Gardner, have you seen who came for my Lord? If you like dying, wake up, Lacey. There is nobody in the heavens, the earth, under the earth, under the sea, there's nobody like Jesus Christ who dies and rises from the dead. And so there is this power that makes things that are not working, things that are not normal, it brings them into normalcy. Like how he changed water and he changes into wine. You get it? Like he goes to Lazarus's tomb also and he speaks to Lazarus, says, Lazarus, come forth. There's a certain supernatural force that God has, that God, owns, that when it is released, that things that are not going well begins to go well. On this Resurrection Sunday, anything that is not working well or not going well in your life, by the power of God that raised Christ from the dead, I command that situation and that case to rise, to resurrect now in the name of Jesus. You cannot be a child of God and suffer under issues and challenges. I command and I speak to all those situations. I break them forth and I destroy them in the name of Jesus. The power that raised Jesus from the dead, let that power come upon you, come upon your situation, come upon your family, come upon your house, in your house. Whatever is not working in your home, whatever is not working in your life, whatever is not working at your workplace, whatever is not working in your finances, in your marriage, in your relationships, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, I release that power into that situation. May there be a resurrection power active in your life and around you. And I'm so excited that, when this power comes, stones are rolled away. Stones are rolled away. Any stone that is lying on you, any stone that the devil has taken and he has
anything that the devil has put under a stone, I roll the stone by the power of the resurrection of Jesus now. There's nothing that belongs to you that Satan has under a stone that is not released unto you today. By the power that raised Jesus from the dead, I speak that there's nothing that is not working in your life that will not work again. Anything that was not working by the power that raised Jesus from the dead, I command that thing to begin to work now in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, if we will really pray like how Paul was hoping and expecting and believing God to experience this power, I'm telling you, so many things will happen. Coronavirus, it will not come. Let me tell you, as for mask, me, I'm afraid of the mask that people are sharing. This time, the mask is like putting food into your stomach. Because this thing is going to cover your mouth and your nose. Before I realize you lie down, you don't wake up again. It's there's deception going to come. You see, anytime the world, you know, the Bible says that broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. So anytime you have something in a certain great number, there's always some mixture of corruption. So people are getting, I saw a pastor receiving a gift of mask from a company for his church and all of that. I hope they know the people they are collecting the mask from. Otherwise, when you get a mask from someone, you have to pray over it. Because it's not everybody who's died from coronavirus. So please don't be deceived. People are also dying of something that they can't also say. Sometimes they even mistakenly say it's corona and it's not corona. All kinds of things are going on. You can't trust these people and trust the world with everything. That whatever you hear, you also believe it. No. Do you understand? So we can't be Christians and be afraid that we will die. Be afraid that this is a very bad season for us. No. There's a certain power. Somebody say power. There's a certain power that rose Jesus from the dead. And that power is active today on Resurrection Sunday as we celebrate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. The power of his resurrection is active now. And it is coming to you now wherever you are seated. It is coming to you now wherever you are standing. It is coming to you like a force. Right now, I release it into your life in the name of Jesus. Receive that power. Receive that power. Receive that power from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Your life is never the same again. Your life is never the same again. Because the power of his resurrection is made available. My God. Lift up your right hand. Somebody just lift up your right hand. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray. I ask, oh God, that these right hands will receive power. Receive power that when your people stretch forth their right hand on every situation, on every sickness, on any difficulty, that power will come out of their right hands into the situation and change it and turn it around in the name of Jesus. Wherever you are, receive the power of God in your right hand, the power that rose him from the dead. I call on that power for you today. I call on that power for you today. I call on that power for you today. Receive that power. Number one, receive it. 1, 2, 3, 4 in the name of Jesus. Some of you, your right hands are getting hot. You're getting hot. Receive it. It's the power of God. Receive it. Receive it. It's the power of God. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. Begin to speak in tongues right now, wherever you are. Kabre se tebere be kabra baba. Rakatata barabandere me kebrende sa. Imalondo romo kebrende ya baba. Leketobo la baya basitiri be kebrende rebe. Mama masa taya bakabra baba bandaya. Ande malomo soto lomo keria bakabranda. Rikere marama soto romo kebrende. Rikalaba satalaba ya baba. Power from on high. Power. power from on high. Power from on high. Jesus demonstrated the power to us when he was here on earth. And in his death and resurrection, the power was also made manifest. Receive that power for impossible situations to rise to the occasion. When you speak, it shall come to pass. When you speak, it shall come to pass. Rakataya bakabara balende remerende. Rikebo mosoto lomo karia bakabara randeria. Mekete berebe kabra baba. Rikerebe shetemene mekabra baba. Mandere. Rakabara bakabara basetereberebe. Yes, the power of God is descending. The power of God is right there in that house. Lekabara baba. On the West Bank. On the East Coast. Lakabara baba. East Bank in Diamond. In Georgetown, Kabarenderebe Kabraba, in Wismar, in New Amsterdam, in Babiz, in Esikebo, Laboronderebe, Batika, the power of God, the power of God, the power of God is descending, is falling. Today, Malendereme Kabraba Baba Seterebe, Kayandereme Kebrenere, Rekebo Seteborobo Kebrene, Makataya Baraba, Ayande. My Andara, Keboro Sete de Bene. There is power, power, wondrous working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power. Wondrous working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, there is power, 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 wondrous working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, oh, wondrous working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Father, you are all powerful. You are all powerful. All power belongs to you. I pray, my Lord and my God, every need, every sickness, every disease, every problem, every struggle your people are going through on this Resurrection Sunday, I speak over it. I command it to loose, to dissolve, to melt, and to go, and to leave, and to disappear right now in the name of Jesus. Let your mighty presence, your mighty power rest upon the lives of your people. When you called Moses, he was holding a rod. You told him to put down the rod. And when he put the rod down, it turned into a snake. That's the power you have. And you told him to take the snake by the tail. And when he did, the snake turned back into his rod. No matter what we have, you're able to turn it into a powerful instrument. I pray for everybody under Shepherd House, Shepherd House International. Any little word, any little step, any little shaking and waving of the hand, Lord, let it be like the rod that turned into a snake. Endue them with power, oh God, from today. May we walk as people who understand and who are experiencing and are seeing the manifestations of the resurrection power of God. Thank you. Thank you. Spirit of the Lord, Yes, move in every home, move in every place. Lebo shikataya bandere meke brenes, marandere meke brosata barabaka brodos. Thank you, Jesus, my Lord and my God. Thank you, Father, for blessing us this morning. Your word, giving us more power to walk this walk and to live this life. Everybody who joined the service has been empowered. They are walking in real power. I'm not just talking about real power. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not just in word, not in talking, but in power. Let them walk out of this service with real power. In the precious name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for hearing me when I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now maybe you know we have a first timer with you, among you. I want to do the honors today. I'm not giving you the opportunity to do it in your house. I'm doing it today. Okay. Wonderful. So if you are not saved, wherever you are, you want to give your heart to Jesus Christ, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the precious blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus died for me. I believe he rose on the third day. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this prayer, I am born again. I am a child of God. And my name is in the book of life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give Jesus a big hand clap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760. Or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.